lot of questions, a lot of wondering, a lot of doubt, a lot of all those things. Like we just, you know, like I don't know if you've been there, but there's been a time between, you know, when something came into my heart and something actually flowed out of it, the time in the middle. And I just want, I really, really was feeling this morning that the Lord really wants someone here to know that if you're in that in-between time, that time where you're wondering if what God really said is true, that if you're really wondering if the dream that you have could come to pass, Easter's here. It's Resurrection Day. And so the disciples, you know, they were in the upper room and they heard what Jesus said. They saw him, you know, be crucified. They went about their day and they had all these things going on in their head and in their heart. And they were, you know, wondering where their dream was, you know. But then on that Sunday morning when they went to the grave and the angel said, he's not dead, he's risen. Whatever's going on in your life today, he's not dead. He is risen. So there's a guy taking a shortcut through a graveyard and in the nighttime. And as he was walking through the graveyard, he stumbled into a freshly dug grave. And he tried to climb out. He's scraping against the walls. He's doing everything he can, and he wore himself out. Finally, he just gave up. So he found a pile of dirt on the dark side of the hole there, and he sat down, and he waited. He thought, well, they're going to come back in the morning. Someone's going to be around. They'll help me get out then. So a little while later, someone else was taking the same shortcut through the graveyard, and he stumbled into the hole. And he's trying, scratching and trying hard to get out, but he couldn't get out, and he's standing there, and he saw he's tired out. So finally he goes, and he didn't see the other guy sitting in the back of the grave, and he's just about to sit down on him. And the guy says, you're never going to get out of here. Out of the back of the grave. He did. he got out. And I think, you know, when you think about the devil, when he had Jesus in hell, he thought, you're never going to get out of here. You're never going to get out. But he did. He rose again. He's alive. He's amazing. It's Sunday morning is here. And even as we heard these songs this morning, he's alive. He's alive. And we celebrate that today. But what I want to talk today is about the importance of the resurrection. So even right away in the New Testament, like we can read that there's like problems already arising in the church. And so the resurrection was a question in people's minds. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking to this church about the importance of the resurrection. He was writing to a church that was influenced by a Gnostic doctrine. Really, it was just a Gnostic was really about knowledge. It was about they had to know everything, but they didn't believe that people were resurrected. So this is Paul writing to them and sorting out their way of thinking. And this is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. But if Christ is proclaimed that he was raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is worthless, and your faith is also worthless. And we are also found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is foolish. You are yet in your sin. And Paul never tried to argue the point here that Christ was raised. He never tried to argue the point here that Christ was raised. He actually, what he was saying is that because we know that Christ is raised, we are raised also. So because in that day and in that time, people didn't doubt the resurrection of Christ. Even though there had been a big push to kind of play it down by the priest and all that group, the religious group of the day, to play it down, there was no doubt in people's minds that Jesus was raised. And so we can read then further on in, just a second. He's trying not to, if we, if we back up here a bit and we look at verse 3, he's talking about the resurrection. And we need to understand that the resurrection is vital for us. It's central, really, to what we believe. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered to you all that which I also received, that Christ died, number one, for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that, number two, he was buried, and then number three, he rose again on the third day, according to Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Afterward, he was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present day, but also some fell asleep. Afterward, he was seen by James and then by the apostles, and then, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of time." So Paul was saying, so many people saw Jesus raised. First there was, you know, the women, and then there was the disciples. And then 500 people at one time saw him. And he said, these 500 people, most of them are still alive. You could go talk to them yourself. They saw him. And then Paul says, me, the last one that saw him, I saw him as I was walking on the road to, yeah, that road. All of a sudden, just beep. What's that? No, not Emmaus. No. Damascus. Yeah, Damascus. So he was on the road to Damascus and he got knocked off his high horse by Jesus. Right? He said, Why are you persecuting me? So Paul saw him. All these people saw him. So it was very, very well known that he had risen from the dead. I want you today to know Jesus rose from the dead. It's not a story. It's actually historical. You can read some of the early writings, and even in Josephus and stuff like that, you can find that people were pretty, you know, confident that he had rose from the dead. But Paul wanted us to know these three things were really important. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. Number two, that he was buried. And number three, that he rose again on the third day. These are all really important to our faith. We need to understand this. We need to believe this. We need to know this. So number one, he died. Since it was Friday and the next day was an especially important day, it says in John 19, verse 31 and on, an important day of worship, the Jews didn't want the bodies to stay on the crosses. So they asked Pilate to have the men's legs broken and their bodies removed. The soldiers broke the legs of the first man and then of the other men who had been crucified with Jesus. And when the soldier came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. However, one of the soldiers stabbed Jesus in the side with his spear, and blood and water immediately came out. The one who saw this is an eyewitness. What he says is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you too will believe. This happened so that the Scripture would come true. None of his bones will be broken. Another scripture passage says, they will look at the person whom they have stabbed, whom they have pierced. And if you want, there's an interesting article in the Journal of American Medicine. It was written quite a long time ago, March 21st, 1986. But they actually went through the whole death of Jesus. They went back through history, they went back through the historical records, through the Bible, and they went through all the detail of the crucifixion and of crucifixion period, but Jesus' crucifixion, and they just showed just totally how this all went down. Because, you know, the Bible says that Jesus laid his life down, that nobody took it from him, but he laid it down. We saw in this scripture that it said none of his bones were broken and that he was pierced. And so the normal act of crucifixion, I'm not going to go into all kinds of detail because most of you have heard this before, but they would put the person on the cross. They would drive a spike in between these. You could feel a really soft spot right here in your wrist. So it would go between the bones, but it would hit a really strong nerve center there, and it would cause a horrible amount of pain. And then they would drive the spike through their feet, and then they would hang on the cross. And the problem was when they hung on their arms, they couldn't take a breath. So when they could take a breath, they had to push themselves up on their feet, which would be really painful because it would be putting all your weight on that one spike, lifting your body up, catching a breath, and going back down. It was a horrible death. And because Jesus was whipped and beaten so badly, and we sing the song, Old Rugged Cross, like, so I don't think it was like a nice, you know, finished piece of oak with, like, you know, something smooth on it. It was a rough piece of wood. And every time he lifted, all his whole back would be exposed to that again and again and again. And most people, when they were crucified, could last like 2 or 3 days on the cross, just suffocating slowly, pushing up, going down. But the chief priest, because it was the Passover was coming, they wanted those people off the cross so they wouldn't be hanging there for their special holy days. And so they were going to break the bones, which was normal. So they went around, they broke the two bones, they both broke the bones of the other two prisoners that were hanging on the cross. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead, which was really unusual. It was unusual for him to die that fast on a cross. So that when they found he was dead, they actually pierced his side with a spear. And probably went in somewhere around here on the right side between the ribs and just up into the right ventricle of the heart. And so when water and blood flowed out of that, you can read it in this article. It's actually really interesting. That one of the major causes of death that it shows when that happens is that his heart ruptured. He had aortic rupture, which is his heart broke. Right? So when Jesus called out in the last, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he cried out, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the Bible said he gave up the ghost, said it was finished. And so when that happened, no one took his life. Jesus gave it up. And kind of when you see the medical report, you can see that Jesus died of a broken heart. And his heart broke for you and for me. It's powerful. It's really powerful. Jesus died. There was no doubt about that. We need to know that. Jesus died. It wasn't a historical, you know, fairy tale, but it was actually the truth. Jesus came, the Bible says, and he dwelt among us. He was touched by our infirmities, by our struggles. And Jesus went obediently to the cross. He was all in for you and me. He went all the way to bring salvation to us. And really, I don't know what to call this message, but I was thinking of go all the way for Jesus. Because I think it's important for us to do that. And or receive all that he has for you from what he's done. Because Jesus was willing to give it all. He was willing to go all the way to fulfill all the prophecies. We talked about it on Good Friday, that he fulfilled over 300 prophecies, and that was like numbers I can't even begin to, and I like math, but there's just too many numbers of the odds that could happen. And Jesus went all the way and fulfilled all the prophecy, and he died. He died for you and for me. He died. So when we say it's Resurrection Sunday, it's a beautiful day. We have to realize how dead and lost we were without him and how saved we are now. How poor spiritually we were without him and how rich we are now. It's powerful. Second thing was, he was buried. He was buried. Matthew 27, verse 62 to 66 says, the next day, which was the day of worship, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together and went to Pilate, and they said, Sir, remember how that deceiver said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will be brought back to life. Therefore, give the order to make the tomb secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may steal him and say to the people, he has been brought back to life. Then the last deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate told them, you have the soldiers you want for the guard duty. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went to secure the tomb. They placed a seal on the stone and posted the soldier on guard duty. They sealed the stone and they set a guard. They wanted to make sure that there was no talk, there was no way that Jesus was going to come back as he prophesied. They were going to make sure. They sealed the stone. They probably did that with some kind of mortar they put around the whole stone. And the stone was big. You can see pictures of the tomb that they assume was, you know, the tomb Jesus was laid in. The stone was big. It was one big stone. And then they set a guard in front of the stone. And they wanted to make sure. The thing that makes me kind of laugh but kind of sad is that they, the high priest and everyone else, remembered that Jesus said he was going to rise in 3 days. But the disciples went to the tomb on the third day with burial cloth to prepare his body. Or not burial cloth, but they went to anoint the body. They were sure he was dead. And sometimes we need to really stir up our own faith in our own heart that what God said is true, that what he said he'll bring to pass. Because the disciples were told, I'll die, but I'll rise again. They were coming to anoint a dead body instead of waiting for Jesus to come out of the grave. Imagine that. Imagine if, just sometimes we read the Bible and it's just like, whatever. But when you really think about it, someone was dead for 3 days and then they're alive. Like, that's amazing. That's unbelievable. Really, it is unbelievable. It's hard to believe that, right? But he was seen by many. He was raised. The chief priests, though, wanted the body to be secure because they didn't want Jesus to come, what Jesus had said, to come to pass, because that would have been horrible for them. The burial of Jesus was an important type. It was an important picture for us as believers. It is so important, and because it was the picture of baptism. It was our picture of baptism. Jesus went into the ground. And so, as we do, therefore, in Romans 6, verse 4 to 5, it says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So the idea that we have from baptism is that we die with Christ, that we're buried with him, and then we rise again to a new life. There was another picture of that in the Old Testament. Remember the story of when the Jews were brought out of Egypt? Right? They were set free, and they started crossing the desert, and then they came to the Red Sea. And they went through the Red Sea, and then once they went through it, all the things that had bound them and kept them in bondage all those years were drowned in the Red Sea, and they came out to a new life. It's the same thing that happens to us when we're baptized. We were born again. We were made free, and then we go into the waters of baptism, and we leave behind our old life, all the bondage, all the struggle, all the stress, and the stuff that held us so tightly, we leave in the waters of baptism and we come out the other side into a new life. God's good. God's good. When we get baptized, that old person we were with all our past gets left in the water and we're raised to new life. It's really important for us to go all the way with Jesus. This is Easter Sunday, but I almost wish I had a baptismal tank up here this morning because I think it's a really important thing. I know that it's an important thing that we go all the way with Jesus. The third thing today, my last point, is he is risen. Now after the Sabbath, it says in Matthew 28, verse 1 and on, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Imagine that. It's like this, they had done everything they could do to make sure that Jesus would not rise. And this angel, right, came from heaven, and the earth quaked, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone, and then he sat on it. So what are you going to do about that, right? Like, the angel of the Lord sitting on the stone. And the countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." I love this. I love these next words. "He is not here. He is risen." Jesus isn't in the grave anymore. He's risen. As he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him also and make you secure." So they came and told the truth, and the high priest said, here's some money, keep your mouth shut, don't tell anyone. And then if you get in trouble for that, we'll pay off whoever we need to pay off to keep the whole thing quiet, right? And so so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So at the time of this writing, the Jews knew that these guards were paid off for trying to hide the fact that Jesus was risen. It's central to our faith to know that Jesus is risen, that we know these three truths, that he died, that he was buried, and that he is risen. These truths are overlaid all through the book of Acts. When we get saved, we're baptized into the body of Christ. Then we're baptized in water. And then we get to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? We get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it's really cool how these three things, death, burial, and resurrection, correlate with the three baptisms. So when we get saved, we become a new person. When we get water baptized, the old person gets cut off. And when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will get power to walk in the new life. Jesus died so we could be saved from our sins. He was buried so the old past of ours could be cut off. And he was raised by the Spirit of God so we can walk in newness of life. Isn't that powerful? The same Spirit, and they've heard this a few times this morning, even in the cantata, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave now dwells in you. So my challenge this morning is to go all the way with Jesus. Go all the way. Go all the way with him. Don't stop. There's three things that we need to know in our life is that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And we were, first of all, baptized into the body of Christ. If you've never been baptized, if you've never given your heart to Jesus this morning, I'm just asking you, please. Jesus loved you so much. He cared for you so much that he was willing to give his life. That he's willing to go through everything that he went through so you could be saved. And this morning, I just want to invite you to go all the way with him, to say yes to him. If you've never been water baptized, As an adult, if you've never said, I've reached an age now where I understand and I want to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism, I want you to follow Jesus and to go all the way with Jesus and be baptized in water. We're going to really believe this is important as we're sitting here on Easter Sunday, right? Go all the way with Jesus. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this morning that could happen. What's really cool, and it's found many times in Scripture, is as people were baptized in water, as they were baptized in water, when they rose to newness of life, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's a powerful picture for us this Easter, but it's also a powerful pathway for us to walk down together as the body, to go all in for Him, because He went all in for us. So, yeah, I want to challenge you to go all the way with Jesus. I want you to be baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to believe in the resurrection. Like, if we profess to be believers, we have to believe in the resurrection. If we can't believe in the resurrection, we can't really be believers. Because this is what the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm telling you, I've walked this life with Jesus for a long time. And it's easy for things to become stale. It's easy for us to start taking this for granted. It's easy for us to move along sometimes and not be obedient completely and follow the Lord completely in what He's asking us. But today I just want to challenge you on this Easter Sunday, when we remember that Jesus is risen, that He went all the way. He didn't just die. He wasn't just buried. But He died, He was buried, and He lives again. And if someone tries to tell you you'll never get out of here, they're wrong. They're wrong. Lord, this morning I thank You for Your power. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You, Lord, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Lord, now lives in us and quickens our mortal body. Lord, I just ask this morning, is just take a minute here to just, Lord, give an invitation. Lord, if there's anybody in this room that's never given your heart to You, Lord, I pray that this morning will be their morning. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never really surrendered your life to Christ, you've never really said, I want to follow You, I might know about You, I might have heard about You, I might have been, you know, going to church and doing a religious thing, but I don't really know You, and you want to know Him today. This morning, I just want to ask you, just, you know, when no one's looking around, just put your hand up and just